How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Wait, we're live already?
Yeah, that's a thing, Brett. That's how this works.
Wow. Good evening, gents.
Andy, are you alive?
I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm just trying to post that we're recording today, and I posted a video with no sound, so that's fantastic.
Oh, man. All right, listen, the week that was, and we've been actually doing pretty good, boys, trying to get it back out weekly after a very long hiatus. I've got a couple people at work that are listeners that were joking around with me. They said, geez, you guys took like months off, and then you come back and you do like weekly ones, and I can't get all caught up. I said, there you go. We're hitting the gas hard. But the last time we chatted, Brett was about to go and compete in his first sledge hockey tournament in, I want to say, like 9 years. Is that right, Bresky?
It's like 2 or 3 years, but nine years is pretty close.
I feel like you said 7 because I just literally just posted a video saying you haven't played for 7 years. So
that is entirely incorrect. I haven't played forward or defense in like 7 years.
Oh, because you were a goalie.
Okay,
that's where we got it from, Andy.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So your full break from the sport, Brett, was how long?
2 years.
All right. Well, that's not as great. That doesn't make for as great of a story as I thought, but oh well, we'll give it to you anyway. So you had your tournament, and tell us about it, bud. How was it on the old body after only 2 years of tournament free hockey?
I was fortunate enough to meet one of Andy's clients, and
the one that was out to get you. I think that made the last episode. I don't think we edited that. We talked about one of Andy's clients was coming for blood. Did he get blood?
Yeah, he kicked my ass. Little 15-year-old mouthpiece kicked my ass.
Can we clarify the ass kicking? Because he doesn't play a physical game. He just skated circles around you.
That is correct, and that is how I'm classifying kicking my ass.
So how did it feel from a humility perspective to be utterly destroyed by a 15-year-old kid?
Demoralizing and humiliating.
Well, Brett, let's be fair, man. We just clarified, you haven't been a position player for like 7 years, and you had limited ice time prior to this tournament. So, I mean, all things considered, how are you feeling?
Actually pretty good. I would really like to be back out on the ice tonight, actually. I had a ton of fun. I led my team in scoring all weekend, and it was a blast. We finished third out of four teams, disclaimer. It was actually, I had a smile on my face the entire weekend.
It's awesome. Was that the first time you've led your team in scoring?
Yeah, more than likely.
Nice. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of me too. I didn't die.
How many teams in total? And I know you guys played in a specific division. How many teams were at the tournament? Was it? And I know the Cruisers Cup is something dear to your heart. You guys have you've hosted that one for quite a while. Do you know any of the history of the tournament and how long has it been going? And how many teams were hosted this weekend or this past weekend?
So this past year was our 11th year. We probably had, if I was to guess, we probably had between 25 and 30 in four different divisions, maybe five different divisions. Four teams in the open division, which I played in, four teams in the elite or A division, and then trickle down in junior and B and C.
Got it. And so ultimately you had fun. No kicking ass and taking names.
I mean, after, like I said, after Andy's client wiped the floor with my ass, I was ready to pack it in and go home. But we woke up. No, I woke up the next morning and all was well in the world.
Awesome. So I have to ask, how did you, and maybe we talked about this last week, but I can't remember. How did you, how did Andy's client identify himself as Andy's client, or what was the interaction like? How did you know that was the guy?
Well, so the first game we played, the first game we played against him, and I was told going into the game that I was going to be playing on the wing. And when I got to the arena, I was told I was going to be playing center. So when it came time for me to go out, because I was second line center, when it came time for me to go out to take the face off after they probably scored, I'm assuming, I can't really remember. But I went out there and I hadn't been out there in a while. So I just I started talking to whoever was on the other side taking the face off, and little did I find out that it was Andy's client, who again is 15 years old and made me look pretty damn silly.
Okay, so I have to ask, so you're lined up against this kid at center, like he's playing, he's taking the face off with you
100%.
Okay, so how does this interaction go? Like, you just look at the kid dead in the eyeballs and be like, hey, are you this guy that works with Andy Moore? Like, how did...
Hey, I actually asked him if he had a personal trainer.
Okay, well, that's a little bit more subtle. That's still a really random thing to ask a 15-year-old kid as he's lined up across the face-off circle from you.
You know what? I wasn't in the mood to try and instill the fear of God in him. So I just... I was using subtleties, but after the game, I told Jaden that he needs to convince his dad, his mom, his coach, whoever, that he should be playing contact next year.
Nice. And to fire his personal trainer.
No, I didn't say that. I said to make sure that he keeps his personal trainer.
And you know what, Brett, there's really something to be said. And I can't believe I'm about to compliment you, but about your maturity in the situation too. Because, I mean, as an older guy away from the sport, coming back to it and coming back to a sport, like you said, that's got 15-year-old kids, because sledge hockey is very much like that. For our listeners that don't know, I mean, age is a friggin' suggestion in that sport, man. It's all about your ability level, and we've seen guys, the three of us have probably seen guys play into, you know, the glory years of their life, whether it be 40s, 50s, just because they could still go, right? And but I mean, then you get these kids that just fly from a young age, take to the game really well. So it's really cool, Brett, that you had the maturity to, you know, as you say, and get your ass handed to you on the ice. But then again, to almost mentor the kid and sort of say, you know, you should be playing up a division because that's where you're going to grow. So good on you, man.
I was going to ask you too, Brett, even within your own team, like is it guys you've been playing with for a while, or do you see yourself as a mentor now?
You know, this past weekend was as I alluded to, it was really, really fun. But it was fun for a whole bunch of reasons. I came back partly because I missed the game, partly because I need to get into better shape, and partly because I was told that there was a something missing on the specific team that I would be playing for, and it was more so like a leadership thing and. A little bit more knowledge on the ice and calming influence, stuff like that. And so coming back and playing this past weekend, that it was reiterated through interaction that that's what was missing on this team. and that I was in part helping in providing that to this team itself. So, I mean, as much as I had fun for the on-ice stuff and the results, it was all the other little things that that gave me satisfaction and gave me the reassurance as to why I actually came back.
Yeah, then that's pretty rad to hear. And he you know, kind of said it. And I mean, I would imagine, I mean, I've been out of the game for literally almost 10 years because I stopped after the birth of my second kid. And I haven't even been back to the rink because I know I probably would get the itch again. And I couldn't even imagine coming back. So we've talked about that on the podcast about our respect for you coming back. But I imagine, like you said, things must have, you know, or things are must be a little bit different now as probably one of the older guys on the team. Whether you want to or not, you almost assume that mentor role. So it's pretty great that you you have embraced it. I think, you know, you sort of hit a point in your journey through the sport. And I mean, I played it for 20 years and Andy close to that. And you've, gosh, now with your comeback now, you probably are even, are you past that 20 year mark now?
I think this year was 25.
Yeah, man. So I think that's pretty rad, man. That's really cool to just reflect about that. That's a friggin' quarter of a century you've been playing the sport, which is really cool. And then, like, you reach a point where you realize it's not about trying to make a national team anymore or whatever the case, whatever your previous goals might have looked like. Now it's about having fun and, you know, maybe staying in shape or whatever the goal is. And like I said, whether you wanted to be or not, you are a mentor because you're probably one of the older guys on the team. So the fact that you have embraced that and are bringing that leadership to those younger kids that are starting out is pretty rad because, I mean, we all started the sport sometime. I mean, I was literally probably 8 or 9 when I started it. Like we've talked about our background together, Brett, meeting at skiing, and then it wasn't shortly after that we were playing hockey against each other, right? So it's been a long journey, and it really makes you feel friggin' old when you look back at it that way. But it's really cool how those roles have transitioned, and yet you've embraced it. So good on you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I have to mention that I was super hesitant coming back to play non-contact because of the whole idea that, you know, hockey shouldn't be non-contact according to society's standards, right? Hockey is a contact sport, yada, yada, yada. But I look at it and it's not necessarily non-contact. It's more like if you go to the rink on a Wednesday night or a Friday night late, it's more like a beer league game where, yeah, contact doesn't necessarily happen, but it's more strategy, like stick checking and stuff like that. So, and I mean, incidental contact does happen. It happens in every hockey game. So, I mean, I'm not embarrassed to admit that I play non-contact hockey. Oh, well, who gives a shit?
I don't really think I could go back and play non-contact hockey. I don't. Did I enjoy the strategy of the game? Yeah. Did I like the gamesmanship? That was probably my favorite part of it, to be honest. But I also really, really like blowing guys up and just getting reactions from teammates, opponents. And, I don't know. Even when I was still playing, people would suggest to change the way I played and slow down. But I don't know, man. I'd like to say at almost 40, maybe I could, but I don't know. I also feel like I'm probably in better shape now than when I stopped playing. So,
So just before we put this one to bed, I want to mention, because I don't know, I saw it on Facebook, and I don't know the situation behind it, but you ended up going to Emerge after the tournament was over. Is everything all right? Like, what happened there? Was that related to the tournament? Did the 15-year-old hand you your ass so bad that you had to go to Emerge? What was the story there?
I think what happened was I was dealing with a little bit of fatigue, and I was dealing with some kidney pain, and I was a little bit dizzy and disoriented. So I just wanted to get to the hospital and get all checked out. Turns out that I actually overhydrated.
Overhydrated?
Which... Yeah,
I didn't even know you could do that.
Apparently, if you drink too much water, your natural mineral levels, your salts and whatnot, can cause you to develop flu-like symptoms.
One of the things we talked about last episode was Halloween. Turns out Halloween in Southern Ontario was just a mess. Chad, you went out with your kids, or you let them kind of venture out on their own?
Yes. So this one was a weird one for me. Typically, I have gone with Crystal and the kids trick-or-treating. This year was a little different. I haven't said this to the entire internet yet, but I have recently been having some stomach troubles. Turns out I have a hernia, and it's been causing me problems. So I had a flare up of severe abdominal pain after dinner on Halloween night. And so that sort of necessitated me staying in, which I'm not going to lie was to my benefit, because it was, as Andy said, a really crappy night on Halloween night for weather. I ended up staying in and handing out the candy this year, and sort of missing out on my kids' trick-or-treating experience, which wasn't ideal. I do enjoy it. We talked, I think, on the last one about some of the accessibility challenges, in the sense that I kind of just wait at the bottom of the stairs. My kids kind of go up and do their thing and come back down to me. And so that's been my experience in the past. This year, I just kind of stood, or I didn't stand anywhere. I sat inside handing out candy. So it was a little different this year, but at the same time, selfishly, I'm not going to complain, because the weather was absolutely brutal this year. What did your Halloween experience look like this year? Were you the candy guy, or did you, did Amanda have, like, did Maisie? So I mean, you've got a pretty much a newborn, which we've
yeah. So Maya had Halloween at daycare, and no offense to my own kid, but I walked in, and this little girl dressed up as a Care Bear came running over to me with a mask, but it was more like a helmet. It was about four sizes too big, but a full Care Bear mask, like full head, everything. And she just came running over and said, "Look, I'm a Care Bear." And I was like, you win Halloween. That's fantastic.
Congratulations, kid.
Yeah. Again, no offense, Maya. If you listen to this later, I'll buy you ice cream. But
I mean, realistically, what is the likelihood that your 2-year-old years from now will pull up old episodes of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast?
It's probably non-existent. Like, it obviously yeah. could happen. Like, who knows, if we blow this thing up, that they might be around forever, but
that's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Maya, if you hear this 10 years down the road, I'll buy you ice cream or maybe a car.
Yes. So I'm going to take point on the offside this week. I hope you don't mind, boys. Brett, we haven't heard from you in a few minutes. I hope I'm not pissing you off by taking the offside. But something happened to me this week, 2 days ago, and I think it's – I don't know if it's a rant fest, but to me it's worthy of some discussion. I know for a fact it's probably happened to you guys. But I was out. So my my oldest son happened to turn 12 this weekend. He had a great weekend of paintball and sushi. Those were his choices. He wanted to play paintball with his friends for his birthday party. So he got 10 of his school friends together, and they went over to a paintball field not far from here and played some paintball. And then for his birthday dinner, he chose sushi. So my sort of rant fest begins with after the sushi dinner's over. We had parked. We had all the kids with us. We had about 12 people meet us, family and close friends meet us for dinner to celebrate my son. And we left the restaurant to go home. And that's where sort of, you know, the shit hit the fan, pardon the expression, but just kind of made my, you know, hair stand on end and frustrated a bunch of people. So, we pulled in no problem with our van into an accessible parking spot. No issues, got my chair out, went in, had a great dinner, came out and found that a car right beside us had parked in the spot next to us, but was a good 2 feet over the line of their spot. And not just like, I don't know if this person didn't know how to park or didn't know how to drive. And I know it's ironic for me to talk about someone not knowing how to drive. Either they just suck at driving or they just wanted more space for themselves. I don't know what it was, but this car was a good 2-3 feet over the line into the accessible spot, so much so that we couldn't load my chair into the car. It was extremely difficult for me to get into the car, into the passenger seat, and then to try and load my chair into the car was just like a next level sort of struggle. We did what anybody would do in 2019. We took pictures and posted it to social media because that's what everybody does. We didn't write any nasty notes. We didn't wait for the person to come out and get into their car so that I could say, what the hell were you thinking? We did take a picture using my chair to show that there was no space to get into the car. We put my chair there. I was already in the car. My wife took a picture of my chair, and the distance between the two cars was so small. And it just hurts my head because the spots aren't just bigger because it's convenient. The spots are bigger for a reason. So maybe this person just didn't know how to drive and I should just get off my little soapbox rant fest. But I genuinely believe that this person was just being a jerk, and whoever they are, I just don't like it. So that's where I'm going with the offside for this week. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the solution is, but I mean, the solution to me is park in the friggin' lines because the lines are there for a reason. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys have had similar experiences. We didn't have to pull the car. My wife somehow managed to get my chair in the car. We didn't have to back the car out to get the chair in. But, you know, everybody around us, the friends and family we were out with, kept telling us to, like, leave a nasty note or wait for the person to come back out and sort of confront them. And, I mean, I have got to be, and anyone that knows me can attest to this, I'm like the most anti-confrontational person in the world. Even when I know that I'm right, I still just hate confrontation and calling people out for their crap. So, but it just pissed me off because, I mean, man, it was just, it's more difficult than it had to be. The spots are not just big because, you know, I drive a van. The spots are big because we need the extra room to load equipment. And again, maybe I'm going off. Maybe there was a reason. Maybe that person needed that extra room on that side of the car. But just find another friggin' spot. Don't take up 2 spots parking across a friggin' line. I don't know. I'm done now. What do you think, guys?
So, yeah, I know that it actually sparks a couple of memories that I've had in the last decade or so. I've had 2 instances. One happened in the wintertime, and I know we're coming up to wintertime now. So last winter, my mom was out of town, and full transparency, I still live at home with my mom, but she went out of town, and I said, yeah, don't worry about groceries or whatever. I'll deal with it. So I went to the grocery store, and
it had snowed previously that day. So I went and I parked in a handicapped spot and went and did a little bit of grocery shopping, came out, and lo and behold, there's a guy parked in the middle of two handicapped spots. And I was parked on the right, in the right one. So obviously his passenger side door would be up against or close to my driver's side door, couldn't get in the vehicle. So here I am with groceries. I trek back into the grocery store and I sit there and I wait and I wait and I wait. And I waited a good half an hour before he came out. And to be perfectly honest with you, Chad, I totally understand and respect the whole not being confrontational thing, because after a long day at work, I really just wanted to go home. So I literally watched him get into his giant pickup truck and drive off. And it was that, but it was the whole idea of having to wait. It was a giant inconvenience in that regard.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in for a sec. I'm not even this guy. It does spark me when you see, and it's funny that you say he's got a big ass truck, because in my experience, that's what it seems to be, is guys with big ass trucks. And maybe they think that necessitates a bigger parking spot. But in your case with this grocery debacle, did this particular truck at least have a parking permit?
Again, I couldn't tell because it's a big ass truck. Okay.
Yeah, right. But you said like on the line between two handicap spots, that's even worse than what happened to me this week.
Right. Yeah. So he literally parked between two handicap spots between two vehicles.
That's insane, man. And I mean, that's the kind of – and I'm not – man, the whole point of this podcast is not the friggin' poor me attitude that, frankly, the three of us are sick of. And that's probably why we've taken to enjoying this podcast as much as we have. It's not a sympathy fest. It's a friggin' common sense fest. You know what I mean? Like – It hurts. And my wife is sitting in our living room as we tape currently. And as you were talking, I'm listening to her and she's reiterating. I actually said, do you want to come to the mic and say that? She goes, no, you can say it. But she's saying when she parked the car this particular on Sunday night when we went for dinner, she goes, when I park the car, I park further to the left, even in a handicapped spot, I park further to the left to allow room to get your chair out, because my chair in our van comes where we've got a nice caravan. So my chair usually goes in whole and it's just easy to pull out that way. And so she makes a point of parking inside the space, but further to the left of the space to allow for even more room. And it just to illustrate the point of how far over this particular car was into the spot. So again, it was just either no regard for the lines or just they're a really shitty driver. But I mean, your story, Brett, is probably even worse, because yeah, that's just probably ignorance. It is readily accessible on my Facebook page if you are so inclined. But and yes, whoever you are, your license plate is in full display on the photo. That's the funny thing, right? Like, I mean, social media sparks. I had a few people share it and post about it and about, you know, kind of ignorance. And then one particular, and I don't know who this lady is, but so a friend of mine shared the photo because I made it public. And then this lady was like, well, maybe they had to make room on their side of the car or a baby stroller or whatever, that, you know, like, you don't know what's going on. And so I thought, man, I don't know, maybe I'm being judgmental, you know, jerk, but I don't know. Listen, I'm not sure.
Somebody actually said that?
Yeah. And I was like, and again, you know me, Andy, like, I'm like not the confrontational guy. And I was like, frig, I'm not even going to friggin' comment back. Like, so a friend of mine shared the photo, tagged me in it, and basically said, like, don't be an asshole. and then one of her friends, who I don't know, was like, yeah, was defending the person who parked, right? Saying maybe they had a reason. Maybe they needed more room for a stroller. And there's maybe some things you don't know, so don't be so quick to judge. And I was like, nope, I'm not even going to comment back. I'm not even going to – because I don't even want to be that guy. I just don't even need to be the talker. in that situation.
I will say this and I will debate putting this in the sound clip that we use to promote the podcast. Parking lines, spaces, dimensions are there for a reason. Maybe that person did need to get a stroller out or whatever they needed to get. It does not change the fact that you were in an accessible spot, they parked over the line, and you had trouble getting... Like, stop making excuses for people that you don't even know.
That's awesome. Listen, I am... This is kind of what I hope for. I just wanted to bring... I didn't, you know, not necessarily want to get us fired up about it, but I wanted to bring attention, not to us, because we know this struggle. Like, I mean, we live this shit. We've seen it constantly in our own lives. Brett told a couple great stories about it. Like, this is the stuff that we deal with, and it's not, oh no, poor you, you deal with, like, no, it's just like, friggin' have some common sense. And in the spirit of transparency and like I said, like we say in the tagline, bringing real talk to matters of disability, let's be real, it friggin' sucks. And the spots are as big as they are for a reason. So, like, let's respect each other and not be dicks, you know, is basically what I think at least I'm trying to get at. And it's easy for me to sit behind a microphone on a podcast and call this person out and not be a confrontational person who left a note or waited for them to come out, or even, as Brett was saying, just even wait for them to drive away. I was like, forget it. I'm in the car now. Let's just go. But I did want to post it. And yes, that person's license plate is very visible, and the photo's being shared. And I don't know. That's not a threat. I don't really care. If you see it, great. If you don't, you probably don't care. So even if you see it, you're not going to make any changes. You're going to continue to be a jerk, whoever you are. But it's just like, you have some friggin' common sense about, you know, about the fact that the spots are not just big because, you know, we need more room because we drive vans. I mean, it fired me up, and I wanted to bring attention to it. I certainly, like, I knew that second that we had our offside for the week on the podcast, and this podcast has become something that I look forward to. You kind of collect ideas and throw it in the bank of stuff you want to talk about, and the mentalities that exist, and the ideologies that exist, and the ignorance that exists, frankly. And it's just like, as soon as it happened, I was like, well, we got our offside for the week, because I'm pissed off enough to sort of chat about what happened to me on Sunday night at August 8. You know, it's like, just hurts my head. Oh, well, goodness knows we have chatted about anything and everything again tonight, and we really appreciate you guys letting us rant. And I mean, even if you didn't appreciate it, we would probably still do it anyway, because I mean, that's just kind of who we are. And listen, we just try to bring, as the tagline says, real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. This is the No Excuses Podcast. You can check out any old episode you want on any major podcasting device of your choice. Chad, Andy, Brett, boys, it's been a blast tonight. Thanks very much.